It's time for Eco Talk with host Betsy Rosenberg.
She'll be great. She's a very smart, capable person who knows exactly what took place and will lay out the facts. And that's what the American people want to see.
I had a dream the other night. Now, in my dream, our national bird had become the ostrich.
But not for much longer. America is waking up and smelling the CO2. Welcome to EcoTalk, where we bring you sound solutions for a healthier planet and people. And each day we endeavor to green the blue and red states one show at a time. Our first guest is reaching out to Americans of all shades and stripes with the urgent message about climate change. Kathy Zoi has just stepped into her new role as CEO of the Alliance for Climate Protection. She, along with Vice President and Oscar nominee Al Gore, has just announced the kickoff of a new campaign called SOS, in this case standing for Save Ourselves. And to help launch this worldwide effort, a series of concerts called Live Earth are scheduled for this summer. Very exciting. We'll be looking forward to hearing about that in just a moment. The rest of our show includes Simran Sethi and Tree Hugger. Today she'll be talking about a radical new staircase that just might energize your home. And in our second half, country singer Adrienne Young puts seeds in her CDs. She sings about voting with our food dollars. She's a spokeswoman for Food Routes. That's a national organization that wants to help all of us put more local food onto our table. And finally, why is the U.S. Navy violating California state law? An attorney with the Natural Resources Defense Council, one of our partners, will tell us how Navy sonar injures and in some cases even kills whales and the lawsuit that may be brewing out in the Pacific. So welcome to the program, and we want to say congratulations and welcome to San Francisco to Kathy Zoi.
Thank you.
You're from the private sector, and you are a specialist in smart metering. It looks like you've come up with some smart messaging for the climate change challenge.
Well, we sure hope so. We sure hope so. I've come back to the United States after being overseas in Australia for 12 years because until we get the United States galvanized about solving the climate crisis, then the world is in bigger trouble than it needs to be.
Absolutely. We're going to get to us, the U.S., in a moment, but just have to ask you about this drought in Australia that we've been mentioning. How severe is that?
Oh, it's quite severe, and in fact, it's one of the key reasons that the public opinion in Australia has shifted probably sooner than it has in the United States, because it's not just out in the bush where all the food is grown, but also in the cities. Every capital city in Australia is under water restrictions now, and they've been under water restrictions for now a year, 2 years, 3 years. It's very, very serious. So that means every day everybody has a sense of, my goodness, what are we doing to the weather?
So it's a crisis that's still unfolding. We understand that farmers have been committing suicide in some cases because of this lingering, ongoing condition.
And well, it's absolutely tragic. I mean, there have been all sorts of pressures on people in the bush, and the drought has just been literally been the nail in the coffin for many of them, and it's very, very sad.
And we've been having some strange weather here too. No one storm or tornado or incredibly big snowfall can be attributed to climate change, but it could be that all of it is part of our wacky weather. It seems we're getting more extreme weather conditions, and I do think that's playing a role in getting more Americans to tune into their environment.
Well, that's right. I mean, interestingly, I found that people still refer to it in this country more or less as global warming. That seems to be the common way to refer to it. And I had a journalist this morning, a TV journalist, say, yeah, but, you know, we just had ice storms in New York, so therefore you must agree that global warming is not happening. And I said, well, actually, no. Mm-hmm. In most of the rest of the world, we now refer to it as climate change because it's a bit more accurate terminology. But
exactly.
In any case, they are one and the same phenomenon.
And Paul Hawken, the noted environmentalist and author, calls it global weirdness now, just because we're getting a lot of weird weather. So if we can inject a little bit of humor, that's okay. This is very exciting. Save Ourselves campaign. Tell us about that. And is the timing of the Live Earth concert series on 7707 and 7 continents deliberate in terms of the date?
Well, it's obviously quite a catchy day. It's right near the 4th of July for Americans, so it's a nice, it's a Saturday when a lot of people can participate in it, which is brilliant. The Seven Continents, well, and it's interesting. The fellow that we're teaming up with is the successful promoter of Live Aid, and a number of around-the-world global events. He was completely captivated and haunted by Al's movie, The Inconvenient Truth. And he said, look, I've got to do something about it. And he is in this position to help. So this morning in Los Angeles, we launched with some musical talent and with Kevin Wall this round-the-world concert that's going to take place on July 7th on all seven continents, including live music from Antarctica in the deep, dark bits of winter. So that'll be the first time ever that will have happened.
I know. You have a list of some pretty big stars here. Melissa Etheridge, who, of course, did the theme song to An Inconvenient Truth. Kelly Clarkson, Bon Jovi. These are all confirmed performers?
Those are all confirmed, you bet.
Durand,
and there'll be more that are very, very interested, that are trying to reorganize their summer holiday schedules so that they can perform. So over the next sort of 4, 6, 8 weeks, we'll be announcing even more acts.
I know Dave Matthews' band, Green Day, and Michael Fronte are big on the environment, just to name a few.
Yeah, indeed.
So Save Ourselves, that's brilliant, SOS, because Save the Planet, that battle cry didn't quite take us far enough back in the 1970s. And even Saving the Spotted Owl didn't quite mobilize the masses. But Saving Ourselves, now Americans are, if nothing else, self-interested, as they should be. So might this be the key?
Well, I don't know. It's interesting because it's one of those things that it's our friends in Los Angeles and in Hollywood that said we really need to take this more broadly, because it is about ourselves. And for those of us who have been long involved in watching the science in a very troubling way, we thought, oh, but it is about the whole ecosystem. But it may be right. The messaging may be exactly what we need to ignite everybody across this country and across the globe, because it's correct. It is about saving ourselves.
And it affects everybody, and it will take everybody, the entire global village, to really, I guess the message is, please take your planet more personally. This affects you. As I say, this program is not just for liberals. It's for everyone who eats, breathes, or drinks. And to those who say they're not really an environmentalist, I say, try going one day without your environment, and then we'll talk. So yeah. It's really about changing the definitions. And I think that's the hopeful, exciting part of this movement, this new movement, to really get people who would not normally be marching in Austin, Texas, the Baptists now fighting the coal-fired power plants that they're trying to steamroller through. We had them on the program this week, and all kinds of interesting coalitions that are forming. You know, the big corporations, DuPont and GE, Duke Energy, teaming up with environmental organizations like the NRDC. So from the evangelicals to the Baptists, I know the Jews are involved in this. It really is something that we all need to take part in.
Without a doubt. And the Alliance for Climate Protection, our new organization, is going to be, building on the momentum that's created through the concert on July 7th. But we're going to be, working with businesses so that as people walk through their days, they are constantly being provided with information about both the urgency and the solvability of the climate crisis. And that means not just when they sort of turn on the television and see advertisements or see celebrities like Cameron Diaz and Leonardo DiCaprio talking about it, but as well when they go shopping and they are offered a Greenhouse Solutions shopping cart at their favorite retail outlet, and when they're driving down the street and they see billboards, or when they go to church on Sunday, it may even be that the pastor or the congregation leader has gotten interested in it and talks to them about it in that context. As you just pointed out, there are Americans in all walks of life now and across the country geographically who are learning more and realizing that we all have to do something with our purses, with our positions, with our voting, with our politics, to advocate for policies that'll get us there.
Absolutely. When I first read about the Alliance right after the movie came out, I think there was something about having a speakers bureau. Are you going to have bipartisan speakers out there, Republicans, Democrats, liberals, conservatives out there taking the message perhaps to people who didn't see the movie for whatever reason or read the book?
Well, part of our effort, as you may know, Vice President Gore has been training climate messengers through his climate project, and that project is part of one of the activities that falls under the umbrella of the Alliance for Climate Protection. And the people that have been trained really do. They come from all walks of life. Some of them are community leaders, small business people. Cameron Diaz herself went to Nashville and was trained for 3 days in the science of climate and how to communicate it to her own community.
I was there too, so I know what you're talking about, and you're absolutely right. And I met the most interesting, diverse group of Americans, and I didn't find anyone who actually worked for an environmental organization per se. So when I heard 1,000 activists, that's more what I expected, and I was pleasantly surprised to see so many different, types of people passionate about this issue and determined to learn more and to spread the green gospel.
That's right. That's what we need. That's what we need.
And so I understand that this training has been taking place in Australia. Is it getting that same kind of response?
Yeah. In fact, Cate Blanchett, in terms of famous names, Cate Blanchett went through the training and she's become kind of the lead climate messenger in Australia.
Okay. We just have a minute left. I'm very pleased that you'll be setting up offices here in the Green Bay Area and also Los Angeles as well?
No. The our headquarters operation for the Alliance will be in the Bay Area.
Wonderful.
But we will be working, I mean, you know, in this day and age, it matters less where the physical office is and more about where you are engaged in activities. And we will be working, obviously, very closely with our partners in Southern California on the concert. But we will be working with local community-based organizations across the U.S., on activities that take place in communities.
Great. Well, it's very nice to have the Alliance in the neighborhood. Kathy Zoy, CEO of the new Alliance for Climate Protection, talking about the Save Ourselves campaign, also about Live Earth. You'll be hearing more about that. It's going to be a huge concert event happening on 7707. Stay tuned for more. Kathy Zoy, thanks again.
My pleasure. Thanks.
And we'll be back right after these messages.